The staff has put together a summary of comments taken from past discussions, past meetings. And I believe in each case where there has been a discussion, there's been a question posed by Terry at the end of a particular subject. And I think probably a good way to start out here today would be to just ask that question in each case and see if we can discuss it and come to a consensus. And then discuss at the end if we want to make some kind of a report to the full commission tomorrow. So, the first one deals with the structure of the Division of Personnel and Labor Relations, and the question is, does the commission wish to recommend the creation of a separate Division of Labor Relations? If so, where should the division be placed? Shall we discuss that? All right, shall we move on?
No, let's discuss it.
Okay. All right, if you read the history there that's been pulled together, there was a position of Director of Labor Relations funded in 1978, the governor's request. This position was never filled. And, of course, when you talk about creation of a director, you're talking about, in effect, creating a division. Because directors usually head divisions. So we have here a concept that was at least initiated by the administration, but was never followed through on. Pat, do you have any history, any further information of why that thing wasn't filled, or what the reason was?
Well, I think that there was a fiscal reason, financial reason, first of all, that we now have a person in charge of regulations and a person in charge of the personnel system, both of whom report to me. If they were made divisions, and I don't know, particularly in retrospect, whether that's altogether a bad idea, if they were made division directors, then it would mean that my position would probably have to become deputy commissioner. And that just becomes pretty expensive. The reason that I say it has to become is that someone has to hold the system together. You have related parts dealing with the same subject, and someone would have to pull it together. It doesn't have to be me. Don't smirk and spray. It doesn't have to be me, but it has to be someone who was able to handle both sides.
That's if the commission recommends to separate it and put it under administration. It's also the thought of under the governor's office, which would be not necessarily in administration. It may be right there under the governor's thumb.
Pat.
I see personnel and labor relations as a function that is which may well merit a separate department. It does in almost all states. Maybe Alaska's too small for that. But what I find happening is a lot of times in the Division of Personnel and Labor Relations is dealing with each of the employees that works for the state of Alaska. And I don't see, on some occasions, I don't see the recommendations and their input with the Department of Administration being taken at the level that it should be taken. And I also don't. And I also feel that, from what I can tell, the governor and his staff have very little, and I mean very little, understanding of what's going on in the area of personnel or labor relations. I feel they get their information at least anywhere from a week to 4 or 5 months after the fact, and this creates bad real difficulties for them. And it makes for poor morale and really poor management. And I think that the idea of possibly of having some kind of labor relations or personnel person close to the governor is not a bad idea, because I'll tell you what, he does not have any idea of what's going on. I mean, I'll give you that in blood. So he has no idea of what's going on, and it hurts him constantly. So,
I personally, Ken mentioned it earlier that maybe there ought to be a department of personnel, and I, personnel and labor relations, or maybe just personnel with divisions of, you know, certain things. But I would agree with the department level thing. I think that the span that the Department of Administration has now is just enormous. And it's not possible for one department to handle. I mean, we've grown beyond the situation where one department can handle all the functions that one department has now. And the greater that those things get, it just there's more and more problems created. And I think we need a cabinet level position to deal with this whole personnel thing.
Some of the concerns that I have in that area, I guess maybe it's my training in the private sector, in the labor movement, dealing with all different kinds of employers. when I think of a personnel department, I think of one time I went to apply for a job at a telephone company. I went in and met this very nice person, filled out the application and everything. I didn't get the job, but that was the function I saw there, the recruitment portion of it. However, getting into labor later on in my years, I got acquainted with the Communication Workers of America, which represents the telephone workers predominantly nationwide, not all throughout the nation, but most of them, and found out that in that particular area, the labor relations aspect of it was the day-to-day function of keeping, I guess Greg Lucari said it one day, signing a peace treaty between wars. Labor relations in the private sector has been recognized as a significant impact on management of that operation. I don't think there's anything that has a more direct impact on a day-to-day basis of an employee's morale, his proficiency, and his productivity than labor relations, because in effect, when we reach an agreement, we go out to our members and say, for this number of dollars per position per person, you agree to do the following things. Another thing I noticed that when I deal with the people at department levels on grievances, and the next step after them is the division, is Department Administration, Division of Personnel and Labor Relations. But not only the program people I deal with, but the members, when I say, well, our next step is Personnel and Labor Relations, once again, there's a certain amount of thought in the area of the personnel people. After all, they're created as a management tool, a very needed one, to, in fact, control positions. You have a state government that decides it has to have certain kinds of services. They need somebody to put together what kinds of positions they need, where they belong, etc. So they're concerned about positions. And when you reclassify, they're concerned about that position and its impact on other positions, not in the area of the concern of that employee in the position. Labor relations deals both in the area of that singular employee and his function and his job, or that unit or that group of employees. Maybe tomorrow in testimony, I talked with Fred Jones of the municipality up here, who surprised me because in my letter I was a little wrong. I guess I was a little behind the times. Originally, when the city, before they merged the borough and everything together, both the borough and the city had two separate functions, personnel and labor relations, personnel and labor relations. When they merged together, they maintained the separate identity. Along about the time Mr. Jones came on board, and shortly thereafter, I think he convinced the municipality to go 180 degrees the other way, and now they have an employee relations department, which personnel is part of. But the emphasis day to day, and I think they'll testify to this tomorrow, is in the area of the labor relations, employee relationship with the employer, the bargaining agent, and it was his words, he has a more direct phone to the mayor than just about anybody in the municipality. The labor relations man for General Motors has that same direct phone to the chairman of the board. And may have more contact on a day-to-day basis than just about any other person they have. Seems like to me the state ought to advance into the current year of 1979 and get on with it. It would serve to be both more effective for delivering the services. We probably wouldn't have the kinds of problems that Pat and I both talked about in the last subcommittee in the area of the personnel versus the labor relations and all those kinds of things. I would think they'd hire an expert. I think Mr. Hunt carries the credentials for that. It wasn't my idea that we have anything to do with Mr. Hunt. It was my idea that the state of Alaska would grow up in this area of management of employees, and I think the end result would be more productivity, more efficiency, and a better understanding of the whole system.
If there's anyone who doesn't already understand it, then the private industry, ordinarily you have an industrial relations department. Mm-hmm. And in industrial relations you have the head of that department, but he has under him the employment function, which is what Ken is talking about, the telephone company, the labor relations, safety, wage and salary. Those are all functions of an industrial relations department. He has those kinds of things. Those are all part of the division now of personnel and labor relations. Points well taken that the director of industrial relations or the superintendent or whatever you call him is generally at the plant manager staff level or corporate level in the headquarters, vice president.
To add along that line, I don't dispute that you don't probably already have that existing there, but I think it's a matter of where the emphasis is put. In the industrial relations area, it does involve the employment aspects. But I think predominantly, and maybe we'll be able to see this in the structure of the city, they're structured in such a way that the majority of their time is in the area of industrial relations between the employer and employer. Personnel is a part of that. I don't necessarily advocate that we go completely that way. But I think that labor relations is such an important, significant thing. We're all going to have contract negotiations this year, all the unions. We think the governor's too far away from the problems. We don't think we honestly believe that he ought to be on top with his own person there. The state of Oregon does it that way. I don't know if they're more successful than the state of Alaska, but I know that when you get involved in the grievance procedures down there, and I've worked with that state, in the bargaining process, you're speaking to the labor relations man, and to his right or left is a personnel man to give him that information that he may need to have on any given subject. The personnel office may have that. It's become in the private sector more of a technical, the personnel aspect of technical function, as compared to your labor relations, where in fact, I don't think it can be technical. I think it's a day-to-day thing. It goes up, down, and sideways. Personnel is not, when I think of it, compromise. Labor relations is compromise. When we reach an agreement, it's not everything we want, it's not everything the state wants. It's a compromise. But when we go to personnel, they say no, that's it, in effect. I mean, I feel you can appeal it on it through arbitration. That's arguable, depending on what you're dealing with. But that's, you know, and that's the way I look at it, and that's where my dealings have been for some 10 to 11 years, is in that aspect. I'm not saying it can't be successful this way that it's operating now, but I think the end result has been that our governor doesn't really know the day-to-day functions. I know for a fact, I wasn't presently at the hearing, I'm not even sure if Pat went in, but I know in one negotiation process, we ended up in the governor's office. We, meaning the organization and Andy Warwick. And when the subject that we hung up over came out to the governor, he said, settle it. That's not a problem. Now, we went and settled the next day. Matter of fact, it was a Sunday we settled. Andy had his boy, his little baby on his lap. Just because the governor wasn't aware of it. There have been other times when we've gone to the governor on some of these kinds of things, and once he became aware of it, he looked at it as a common person would look at it and try to resolve it, and it was resolved. Not necessarily 100% to our satisfaction, but we got some movement there. He wasn't really, and in fact told us he wasn't really that aware of the problem. Once he found out what it was, he was real amazed that we were hung up over it. And it just seemed like to me that the governor would have a better understanding of the total operation of the government and what he's getting out for those dollars that we negotiate at the bargaining table, and maybe could make a better report to the legislature on the overall function of having a better involvement in it. I just think they have set it to the side, and they're dealing with it because it's there, and it keeps sticking its head up over here, and I keep pushing it over, and it comes back. Also, I think under a labor relations department or division or whatever, you'd have a little more uniformity. There's no question, and maybe Ms. Murphy can speak to that a little bit, that when we have a grievance in one department, if we take the same similar grievance in another department, we'll get two different answers, or 15 different answers. And I tell you, being very selfish, I use that. Our organization uses that in trying to argue its merits that there's no uniformity and et cetera, et cetera. But that's a real problem, I think, for government. To have 15 different interpretations, I think Labor Relations Department and the governor's office would have a direct impact on each commissioner. I don't think it has that now. I have been in many meetings with the commissioner administration who says, I agree with you, but I can't overturn it. It's not this last commissioner, it was Andy Warwick, and he told me why he couldn't overturn it. I cannot overturn Harris. I cannot overturn Spruill. But I think if he was sitting next to the governor as a labor relations man, he may not be overturning, but he might be able to see the governor what the problem is. The fiasco of signing the Inland Boatman Union contract is another prime example of that problem. That is, here's Commissioner Allen. I don't know the total story, but I got parts and pieces from Mr. O'Clery. But
governor said, sign the agreement. And Mr. Allen went down with Mr. O'Clery to get it signed by Mr. Harris. He wouldn't sign it. They got it signed about a little later that day, but there was some heated discussions and a meeting with the governor. Those kinds of things, you know, are there. And there's no way that they're being...
Okay, thanks, Ken.
This, this suggestion, Ken, is it that there would be a department, cabinet-level position, labor relations and personnel, and then within that department, a division of personnel and a division of labor relations and what, possibly some other...
I think my emphasis is, once again, away from the personnel aspect. I would think that it would be a commission or a department... commissioner-type cabinet-level position with the emphasis on labor relations. Personnel can function pretty much under the way it's set up to operate, and except for all of the problems we have in recruitment and those kinds of things, without having a cabinet member as a personnel member. I think that cabinet member's got to be more in the area, the emphasis of the labor relations aspect.
But personnel would be a division within that department.
Very possible. You can envision that. You can envision two separate divisions. The thought was is to throw something out and at least talk about separation and go from there. Something other than what we've got, some cabinet level input.
One of the things that Dr. Turier is going to talk about,
$500.
I didn't get it again.
I want you to know I practiced that name. We'll probably present to the commission when he speaks to us. He's probably, from the reading I've done, from what he's written, his booklets and things, papers that he's written, as well as what he presented at Tacoma, that he's going to recommend a department for both. And I think what we're going to have to address, if we're going to make any recommendations on this issue, is whether or not we think Alaska is large enough to support cabinet-level positions for this. And I'd like to ask Pat, you know, when I first came to the state, to state employment, I sort of understood the personnel... the role of the personnel officer or the personnel director was to kind of a friend of the employee, maybe I should put it that way, for lack of a better reference. And I see that as kind of changed because of collective bargaining. And I see you becoming more of a management defender. Or, would you say that that's a fair...
Yeah, I'd say it would be unlawful for us now to do some things we used to do because of individual bargaining considerations.
Okay. Do you see that... that if we separated labor relations and personnel into two separate organizations, do you see that old role coming back somewhat?
No, I think it'd be just as illegal for a division of personnel to work something out with one of Pat Murphy's employees without consulting him as it would be for the labor relations division.
No, I wasn't so much thinking. Well, I think what I'm saying is that you've got a supervisor who's probably not treating an employee quite... There's a conflict, some sort of a problem. And they come in to the personnel officer and get involved with the personnel people in terms of resolving these kinds of problems. It's like you do in private industry. Personnel officers are often called in by managers to say, we've got a personnel problem, Don. You want to come on down and let's discuss it and help us sort it out. Well, maybe with collective bargaining, maybe that's all out the window. I don't know, Kent?
Not speaking on that particularly, but getting back to the cabinet level, I don't know that it would have to be a cabinet level. Could be a special assistant to the governor like they do in the state of Oregon. In fact, that's his function. And he has, in this state, it could be done. The very existing people that perform the function now in labor relations wouldn't have to change. But there would be somebody in that governor's office, he may not be located in the same building, but directly responsible to the governor, not to the commissioner of administration, not to the commissioner of DOT, to the governor on the day-to-day operation of that labor relations function.
For liaison?
Okay, Linda, yes.
A liaison, but with under the supervision of the governor.
Sure. Ken, I had a question of you. You're talking about this on the big picture. What about any individual departments? I mean, you've not spoken how you felt that would affect our operations
now.
I don't think there's uniformity now
in labor relations.
I understand. No, I'm talking about the structure of the personnel sections themselves. Are you saying that they should all of a sudden they should get a labor relations expert?
No.
Okay.
No.
Usually,
if you can work it out with the department, a grievance or a dispute or a conflict, if it can be worked out between the organization and the department, it shouldn't go any farther than that. Unless, I imagine it could probably be something that should go a little farther. Using some, really exaggerated thing, you can work out something illegal. Assuming everybody's working legally, we work out that problem. It shouldn't have to go any farther. But when it gets to the stage of going to that level, then we're talking about, if it isn't worked out there, then we're talking about dropping the case,
or pursue it in an arbitration in the private sector. And I think traditionally in most all sectors throughout the United States, exception of those new ones like us in labor relations field, a lot of times they don't go to arbitration as much as maybe the state does. And the state loses a lot and we lose a lot. But the point is that on a per capita basis, I would think that we probably arbitrate all the organizations together or separate more cases than you can compare anywhere in the United States. Private sector, when that labor relations man goes to the chairman and says, here's the case, we're headed to arbitration, words to this effect are, you ready to put your job on the line if you lose? That's the deal, because they found out through history, through all those kinds of things, that 9 times out of 10 it isn't worth taking that for. I know for a fact, and I've arbitrated cases involving $80, and I've had to fly up to Anchorage to do it, and 2 representatives from Mr. Hunt's office come up, and we spent 3 days on $80.
I understand.
Maybe sure the precedent is something to worry about, but that's the thing that can be worked out. Why would that is not that's costly to me. I'm a taxpayer too. I think it's an unnecessary cost. Even in some cases we've had those kinds of problems, which were clear cut violations, and we still went into arbitration and involved one is $100,000+ and a couple hundred people. That's our old step B thing in Syncritical. I don't think those kinds of things, they may exist, but they would maybe for different reasons.
Well, I haven't fully thought this out, but at least in the state's dealings with us, I don't know that I would think that the labor relations and the personnel function would have to be in the same department with 2 separate divisions, or those functions would have to stay together, because. You know, and that's especially true if we're talking about putting the personnel roles or parts of it in the contract. But the labor relations people, until you reach the Department of Administration right now, the Division of Labor Relations, the labor relations are carried on through the personnel officers and although in labor relations, to a certain extent, there's a veto power within the Division of Personnel and Labor Relations. Labor relations are carried on, and really in a lot of cases, and this will become more and more true, say in layoff situations, that you can't separate the personnel aspects from the labor relations aspects, and I would think that the two functions would have to stay together, and a system would have to be devised. For example, we've had a number of cases involving layoffs, but I guess the best one that comes to mind is the area of merit increases. That is very much tied up. It is part of the personnel system, and it's become part of what we consider to be the wages, hours, and working conditions, based on past practice and certain parts of the contract of the employees we represent. But that's straight out of the merit system or the personnel system. I don't know. I would very much recommend against any separation of the two functions. I mean, we have one up here in the governor's office, and the other one's staggered out at some other place.
Ken,
I think I would agree with you on that, Pat. I don't think that's what I'm trying to do.
No, I wasn't contradicting you. I just
but let's just look at municipality of Anchorage again, and that is that industrial relations is saying that's the department, and inside that department is a small function. Small as far as amount of time, although they have a lot of people in there, a function of personnel, a function of labor relations. But the emphasis is Mr. Jones is not a personnel man. You meet him, you'll find out he's a labor relations man. Always has. He may have been called a personnel officer, but that's what his term was in that position. He came out of ITT, some of these other areas where they have an industrial relations department where personnel serves as a function of it. But the emphasis is in the area of labor relations. I would not want to separate them so the left hand doesn't know what the right hand is doing. But I believe that labor relations has got to be closer to the governor and should have liaison, if that's the word, or a special assistant or something in there. The day-to-day operation should probably be brought before him. He doesn't see it. He sees the final product. It's negotiated. He's got his guidelines out. He doesn't see the grievances. He doesn't even know what part of the arbitrations are. I know I've asked him. No idea how the, you know, what we're, he just doesn't get involved in it. He's got Mr. Allen or whoever's going to be there and Mr. Hunt to take care of those problems. But he doesn't know, and I think it's too important not to. It's here to stay.
I want to be repetitious for just a minute.
Ken keeps using the term personnel in connection with the private sector industry. What we think of as personnel here, what we're talking about now, includes several of the functions of industrial relations. Primary among those is the wage and salary function. In industrial relations, that's a separate, very important division within the Department of Industrial Relations. Labor relations is a function within there. Here Ken's saying the superintendent of industrial relations or the VP for industrial relations should be labor relations oriented. That's what he'd like to see at that job. But the fact is that there is no personnel per se. There is an employment function, a wage and salary function, a safety function, training. All these things are what we call personnel, are all part of industrial relations. So employment, you think about recruiting and examining, that's the employment function. And that's what Ken saw in the telephone company. But behind that was someone doing what Ken's classification of paid people do, wage and salary, working with the unions on wage and salaries.
Chris, can you know, when you go out to the field and you talk to an employee, and maybe it's a misrepresentation of what the division stands for, but there's a tremendous amount, not just with the employee, but program managers, too, with the division personnel. You've got to have somebody say no on these things, somebody control positions. And I still think that's where the state's emphasis is. I think the employee is second nature to that. I think the employee deserves better credit than what they're getting. And I think it ought to be the other way. Matter of fact, I'd be absolutely pleased beyond belief if we had an industrial relations department and personnel was a part of it, and wage classification was a part of it, with the emphasis being, once again, in the area of that industrial relationship, because it's all part of it. You can't completely separate it. But then again, you've got to have that, you know, labor relations is just not getting the credit in the state that it should get, and that's why we've got all the problems we've got.
Okay, how can we get a handle on whether or not we could support, with the population and the numbers of positions that we have and the number of contracts that we are negotiating every year or so, whether or not we could have a separate Department of Labor Relations, industrial relations.
Employee relations, what do you call it?
And I think if you take a look, Don, we're a large, state of Alaska is a big employer. What, 10,000 people or whatever?
Plus.
That's a big employer. We're big.
Okay, I'm just asking the question, Ken, how can we, you know, what's the criteria we use to determine whether or not this should be a separate department?
The criteria is the enactment of the Collective Bargaining Act. That's the criteria.
Okay, we're talking about, is this going to cost us more as far as...
Probably.
You can minimize it.
But I think in the overall end run, it'll save you money.
Okay, how can we address this so that we can, if we make a recommendation, that we have answered or at least given some in-depth thought to that question of economics? And the other things I think we can probably answer by how effective it would be, how it should be organized. We can get into that. But how are we going to address the question of cost? I mean, this commission needs to address that question if we're going to make a recommendation.
Well, I guess I'm lost. I don't really know what you're asking, because...
Well, I'm saying that we've got these various functions within Pat's division, and some of the things are happening in some other ways, I think, and we could pull together some things such as employment, wage and salary, labor relations, training. Right now, training is kind of an example. Training and safety was another one that you threw up. Training right now is being handled by all kinds of people in various departments. And so if we group, or we call it centralize, these kinds of activities, what would we do? How would we save taxpayers' money?
The end product.
Can we demonstrate that some way?
We can take a look at what maybe through some testimony, people involved in private and public organizations that have done that. You might get something out of that. I can just tell you from my personal experience, my personal judgment, that it's far more, they're getting more for the money they spend out of that kind of a system than we are now. The end product, the employee performing that job, that productivity, that day-to-day touch with that particular,
we can't just
very
come
important
out,
thing.
We can't just come out and make a recommendation, I don't think, to establish an executive or a cabinet-level Department of Employee Relations. I think we have to do more than that. We have to say why we think it's necessary, why we think it's a good idea. What are we going to base that decision on? That's what I'm asking you. Do we need to get a $2,000 consultant to come in and do a study for us?
They've already done them all. Most of the time, they're just going to take their old reports and cut and paste, and they'll have ours. So,
okay, well, I don't really believe in that, Pat. I'm just throwing it out so I can get somebody stirred up a little bit.
Apparently, one time somebody convinced the governor that it ought to have been done.
John?
Well, it seems to me that the argument is not so much, you know,
the money as it is, if you take all the testimony that we've gathered from people, we've got a problem, I mean a major problem, a lot of sets of problems, examining recruitment, labor relations, so on. And part of the problem that I see has to do with where that whole area sits. It takes second fiddle to all kinds of other things and doesn't get the emphasis, either in the resources when it goes to the legislature or the budget from administration and from the governor, he forgets it exists half the time, that it even exists over there. You begin to wonder whether or even, you know, that it even worked for him. But, I mean, it's the emphasis, I guess. And I really feel that that's what you've got to sell to the legislature, at least. Now, when you start talking about selling to the administration, I mean, a different thing. But I think there is some real legitimate reason. It's just in how you emphasize something that makes a great deal of difference and how it runs and how it gets its resources and everything else. And if you, upgrade it to a department level where it's in a cabinet member within the administration, it makes a lot of difference in how it's going to get its resources.
Now, the governor relied real heavy on his cost efficiency study or whatever it was. I don't recall any specifics in the air labor relations, but if we take a look at the private sector, we'll find it structured pretty much the way we've been talking here today. And, of course, the profit-minded we may not be, but we ought to be cost-minded.
I had an extremely negative reaction to the idea of having this constant in Minnesota come to Alaska to talk to us. And I apologize for having made that known to others, because having read their report, or at least been through parts of it, I'm really impressed with the similarity of the things they were saying to what we're confronting here. A lot of the things that they report as having been said to their commission, to their investigators, we've heard exactly the same thing here, a lot of them. Now, Pat Murphy was talking about a cut and paste job for a couple grand if you talk to a consultant. You know, maybe a lot of that work is right in that book. If Wisconsin, I slipped around in my opinion.
I'm sure that's true. When we get to that point,
maybe the cart's before the horse. Your question is, how can we? I think maybe that's a little premature. Why don't we listen to Mr. Jones tomorrow? He's going to have some points. Listen to what our people coming up in February have to say. I threw it out on the table. We discussed a little bit here. Do some more research. I can do some more of my own. And maybe just get into a good labor relations book, the real theory of the thing. And I think if people read that, or read, you know, got a report out of that, I guess what I'm saying is we've opened the can. Now let's start gathering the information to see if it should be supported. I could be wrong.
Okay,
no,
Ken, I think that it's time that we kind of had maybe we need to have a little bit of a subcommittee in this group. And I think it's time for you to serve in that capacity. I think that one of the things I'd like to see come out of here is, what should we include in this kind of a recommendation? Here we have the question, does the commission wish to recommend the creation of a separate division of labor relations? Okay, I'd like to maybe throw that back to you and say, why don't you do a little bit of scurrying around? And I see Pat's looking through some things. He's got some booklets. I think we need to determine what we want to include in there, what we want to call it. Those kinds of questions need to be approached and presented to this group.
I know that there's to a federal, I can't think of the name right now, there's an awful lot of information available along this line. I've gathered it before, I can gather it again. Bureau of National Affairs, I don't know what it is. Anyway, it's some, under the Department of Labor, it's some statistical area that gathers a lot of these kinds of things, and there's a lot of papers, both out of the industrial relations area in the area of the universities.
I don't know, do you think...
But I don't have a problem. I'd be more than glad to do that. I'd put a little help on it. But,
all right. Maybe anybody else that would like to assist?
I think Pat Hunt should be on it,
Well, you know, all we're doing here, let's just answer the question of what should it include, and what should we call it?
Well, that depends on which part of the axe you're grinding. I mean, I don't want, that's nothing to do with Kim. I don't want Kim speaking for me in this area. And I don't even want him speaking. I'd like to know what Pat Hunt thinks about it. What I'm saying is
All I'm trying to do here is to get some more material before us so that we can respond to it.
I don't care. Don.
You know, if you want to do another one, that's fine with me.
Not so much necessarily complete report back, although maybe the question ought to try to be answered. But just gathering the information alone would be a step in the right direction.
This is all I'm saying. Now, what I'm suggesting here, and if you've got some suggestions on how to do it better, what I would like to know is, what would should we include in it? What's some ideas on the subject? And what do we want to call it? And if you disagree with any of it, you know, we'll vote on it.
Because I know for a fact that Pat Hunt is involved in the National Public Labor, whatever they call that, where you get together with other government body people and deal in these kinds of areas. So he's probably got a place to get a lot of information. I know the AAA, American Arbitration Association, has got tons of stuff on this area. And I mean tons of it. It's a matter of how much you want. But that's one of the sources I'm going to go to because that's where it's at. They even have, and this is something you ought to think about, they have a division of AAA. It's called the IRRA. Pat may be familiar with that. It's Industrial Relations and Research Association. And that's a subsidiary of the AAA. And I mean to tell you, they've got tractors in every state but Alaska, and we're going to try to get one up here, but there is a valuable amount of information there.
Does everyone have a copy of this?
No.
I didn't have, and I was just amazed.
Oh, I think you do. It just has
it doesn't look like that as well. I think we do have
when
a copy.
When it got Xeroxed, it turned out great. It just passed out the other...
Oh, yeah, because...
well, maybe...
This just has a wealth of information.
There it is. It is.
I know one of the people who was on that committee very well, and a very high-caliber person.
That got passed out in the first batch of materials about project training some time ago.
Used to be vice president for business.
Okay, I think we do have this. I'm looking for some help here because, this is something that we're sort of skirting around. I don't think we know enough about the subject to make a recommendation to anybody. So how do we get the information together, and how do we discuss it intelligently if we don't give some assignments? And the staff's going to be pretty well burdened here.
Well,
Ken,
I would suggest that people who are interested in learning more read the. I agree with Pat. That's very well presented. You can go around the world twice and not find, a better exposition than that. And then, especially if you can do that before Dr. Couturier comes, then. I mean, there's your authority to put the questions to, and at that point, I think, you'll have some points to wonder about. Mm-hmm. So, well, ours isn't exactly like Wisconsin's in this way, or
a good point of departure. Is going to be our speaker from Wisconsin.
Oh, what's his name again?
Dennis Briesang, I think is how you pronounce it.
He also might be able to make some suggestions about cost analysis. Not only from Wisconsin's point of view, but in general.
Good point. Okay, well, that's really all I'm after, is to try to get us to become familiar with the subject in more detail than we are right now. Why don't we move along to... do you have any more comments about this particular... Yes, sir.
I'll determine. Terry's not sure. I've got a primer that I cited in my earlier bibliography from the Council of State Governments on employee relations, which deals with that subject on a primer level. And if members have not been, it's short and just a very good background on that subject, as well as collective bargaining in the public sector generally. And if members don't have copies of that, it would be easy to furnish them.
I think that would be helpful. I recognize that we're getting an awful lot of material, and it's kind of hard sometimes to keep up with it. So that's why I was suggesting in some cases that we just have little verbal reports, because we can learn quickly by someone telling us what they've read and summarize it for us. Do you wish to go on to number two, or do you want to skip on to since we've discussed that one pretty much today? Yeah, I would just assume that we would
you're Pat and I again.
I think three, I'd like to just move on personally and let's get into a new subject. I think it's more, otherwise I'll adjourn. Number four looks kind of interesting, membership on the Alaska State Labor Relations Agency.
Personnel Board and...
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I think that ties in with number 5, the scope of authority of those various boards.
Right. We can discuss that whole area, and I think it wasn't number the next one also...
No,
I'm sorry. Maybe we incorporated when we were discussing it, I guess. Okay. Okay, we've got the question of the retirement or the Labor Relations Board and the Personnel Board, and the question is this overlapping membership appropriate? And maybe we could, I don't know, Pat, could you explain to us a little bit the history of these two groups and why?
Well, the Personnel Board, as I think everyone in this room knows, is 3 people appointed by the governor serving his pleasure, staggered terms. Those 3 members also are 3 of the 5 people who control the retirement system. That's all by statute. Then the Labor Relations Act came along, and the Personnel Board is simply installed as the board of the agency for labor relations. There's no different treatment at all, just whoever the Personnel Board member is in charge of the Labor Relations Agency. I think everybody knows, too, that they serve without any compensation at all. They have no full-time staff. A little bit awkward for us in the early days of collective bargaining because under the old system, under the merit system, we were their staff. As a matter of fact, the statute says that they are created within my division, the implication being that they sort of work for me by statute. That was never the case, but the fact was they never had anybody, and we did the work for them. So in the beginning, they were inclined to sort of send their stuff to us and have us get it typed up for them, and we had to get that stuff in a hurry because it was obviously not going to apply under collective bargaining. It's a little different picture. If you want to comment on it, I think there's a tremendous problem brewing just now in the Labor Relations Agency because of not having permanent staff or anyone to do the day-to-day follow-up that needs to be done to keep labor relations on an even keel. They just don't have it. Plus the fact that the board are really a volunteer board serving without any compensation and they have other businesses in Maine.
I think that along that line, as a result, the board not been as effective as it might have been able or might or could have been because of those kinds of problems. And once again, you have to look at the private sector, the MRB. I think this board is the emphasis, maybe that's what I should say, the emphasis, at least in our organization, is to start utilizing the Labor Relations Agency. They're there for a purpose and a function. The more they utilize those, the more behinder we get, as Bum Phillips says, I guess. And they're really got a lot of stuff ahead of them. Not only do they handle our problems, they also handle the community colleges and those unfair labor practices. You remember about a year and a half ago, they were just days and days and days of those, and everything got put on the back burner. It seemed like to me that they got to get full time somewhere and could have some area there, because I think the emphasis is to go there more. Even probably more is going to come to light more than anything. There's more jurisdictional problems. They have been starting to go there now. But I think the indication is, if you look at history in the private sector or any other area that's had some time, jurisdiction is a tough problem. I mean, many jobs get shut down over that question. And I think the LRA is going to be much more busy than they are now. I think they need a staff. I think they should not be the Personnel Board also. I strongly feel that. I think they should be a separate.
Linda?
Well, I reviewed some pre-filing of legislation for Commissioner Orbeck last week, and there's a bill being sponsored by Department Administration right now that would clarify the LRA and the Personnel Board and also the role of Department of Labor. Maybe Pat would like to speak to that.
My understanding is that doesn't do anything in the way of giving them permanent staff, which is
my
biggest concern. It's simply the Department of Labor has had the local jurisdiction assignment. They've been relatively inactive because there hasn't been very much of the Labor Relations Act. So that sort of cleans it up and puts it all under one board. But that is a good point as far as establishing the workload that they're laboring under. And Ken's perfectly right that it's growing. And Pat will agree, I'm sure, that he can see things growing that they're going to cause an even greater load in their present assignment. So if we now put the local jurisdictions on them too, they're going to have their hands clear full. I do not share Ken's concern about the Personnel Board. The Personnel Board has had, a half-day meeting in the last year or something like that. It's just the tail of the dog. That's all there is to it. And particularly, if we do the things we're talking about here, the Personnel Board will have very little activity at all. If we're talking about pushing,
are we happy with the
basic structure that we've got? Who should serve? What should the term be? That's all this whole area of discussion.
Everybody who's involved is We got them. We appeared.
I see.
Pat, you know, I probably appeared 30 or 40 times before that board, and Pat probably that many times. So.
Ken?
I forgot what I was going to say. Can you believe that?
I think we're getting tired.
Yeah,
no, it was important, but it's not that important because I forgot it.
There was a bill in last session,
there you
too,
go. Thank
which,
you.
Which established, of course, a labor, full-time labor relations agency rather than a voluntary agency, which would more like, you know, instead of non-compensated members, would actually establish a compensated board with a staff and so on. That was in last session. It didn't pass.
That was, if I can get back to that's the thing I want to talk about. I'm not sure if it was, it was the last session. It was introduced by someone who was later defeated and not back anymore. I'm trying to think of her name.
Lisa Rudd.
No, that was one of them, but there was one even before that, the session before that. Tail end of the ninth, I guess, session. Wait, this is 11th session? Okay, the tail end of the ninth, it was introduced by Ramona. No, not by Ramona. I can't think of her name right now. She introduced it, and we had tons of hours of testimony that was given. That time, before Pat's time, before John's time. And creating an LRA, a labor relations agency, and defining certain things that weren't defined. Having one member from the public sector, one from labor community, and one from the business community. 1 year term for the first time, 2 year, and whatever, so they'd stagger, and the same governor wouldn't always end up appointing the same people, and that's the whole way it was true, but it never got anywhere, unfortunately. I don't know if it was really a good piece of legislation. I know we had an awful lot of input into it, as far as definition of supervisor, managerial employee, and all those kinds of things. And unfortunately, just never got it when the session ran out. But there was a concerted effort there. I think somewhere in the dead files, we could probably dig that piece of legislation out and take a look at it and get some ideas there, at least that had been hashed over. Because I know I spent many a night down there in those hearings with Greg O'Clery and with Allison Farrell on that very subject. On the RA. And I think Pat was there a couple times, I recall.
Okay, well. It seems to me, though, that we
this is bad.
Same group.
It seems to me that we need to break.
Go home. Get out of here. Maybe staff, Don, could try to find that piece of legislation. If nothing else, something to look at and go from there.
Why that one compared to the one last year?
The one last year was crazy. Pat knows that as well as I do. There was a long story involved in that one. And
well, let's find both of them.
Because there were some pluses to that one last year,
where?
Too.
Oh, yeah, the one where they had the right, where the unions always had the right to go to arbitration, but the state never did. I thought that was terrific.
Okay, Terry, could you try to find...
Ask legislative affairs since they keep those things.
Okay, all right. Ken, would you try to find out what there is? Somehow or other, I think we need to get into, is there a model... that we could look at that's been put out by Harvard or somebody that deals
There's
with...
There's one that we might want to look at, and it's certainly on a larger scale, and that's the Public Employee Relations Board of the State of Oregon. There's some differences there, but that's a very full-time, large, functioning operation.
If we're going to do it, I'd like to see the state statute. Almost all states have some that kind of a board who have public sector labor relations. I would like to see the statutes. I mean, if we're going to really get into it and draft a model bill, which I think we need to, I'd like to see the statutes from the states, New York, Massachusetts, Maine, the whole works. And
okay, maybe we could.
I don't mean all 50 states. I'm talking about five.
This is
five,
a critical
four,
area that needs to really be studied thoroughly.
Okay, maybe what we should do then is to ask Ken to maybe with the staff's help, Ken, try to accumulate some of these sources. And we could sort of have a summary, just a real brief summary of
forget the LRB either.
Okay, what the various states have done in terms of how they select these people, how long they serve, what their function is, what their authority is, if they're paid, if they have a staff, all those questions.
What about
a little selection of states?
Yes, just kind of give us an overview.
Be sure you get some of the states that collective bargaining laws.
There are only 32 to do,
Pennsylvania. Yeah, but not all of them.
And I think states
well,
that have
I mean, you want, Pennsylvania, want ones Hawaii. With collective bargaining. Those are the ones that
yeah,
are relevant.
Right.
Yeah, but not all of them have LRAs. Or don't have
no. Right. We'd, of course, have
right.
to get ones that have.
And while you're doing that, would you also address the question of the personnel board and how they function in relationship to the LRB? And also try to get a state or two that has the same general population or the, you know, somewhat the same size. I think that...
Montana. Rhode Island.
Well,
Connecticut.
I don't know.
Well, I'll try to use
your own
judgment in
selecting
that,
yeah. You
want
I don't know.
You want us to be there and hold your hand.
I apologize. That
is there any way, now that I'm thinking about it?
That's crazy.
Pat, have you seen the federal public toilet?
Okay, I'm going to leave here in about 20 minutes. Okay, number 8 is, I'm going to skip 7, so on 6. Due process rights for temporary employees.
Due process rights.
I think, again...
And then the question, does the commission wish to recommend that temporary employees be afforded due process rights beyond those presently provided in cases of discrimination based on race and so on?
There's just one thing I want to make a point on, that's the reference there to Local 71. I guess it's there, but I just want to be sure it is. We pretty much can grieve and arbitrate things in relationship to a temporary employee except for discharge. As an example, if he has holiday pay coming, these kinds of things. I guess it's there, but I want to be sure it's specified. I think Pat, am I that pretty close to it? I'm not sure how yours is.
No. I think... I mean, yeah, that's, as I understand it, that's what yours is, but ours is, temporary pretty much have no rights. I doubt it. About the only thing they have is if they don't get paid,
there you go.
We can take care of that for them. But other than that, nothing.
Maybe I better say the contract terms, whether they apply to temporaries or permits, some of those terms are certainly can be taken.
It seems to me that this belongs, though, this whole part into the categories of employees and the whole issue that we're dealing with there. Where are we going to include this and what recommendation we make? If we're not going to make any changes to the definition of temporary, then it's going to wind up in collective bargaining. If we are going to make some changes to the categories, then it would wind up probably being dealt with in that area.
I think that this came up in this committee, and Terry just pulled it out of testimony.
Sure.
So maybe what we ought to do is just formally refer it back to
the... Oh, it's in the other
It's in the other
well.
Also.
Yeah, okay.
Thank you, really, John, because, you know, if we're going to be dealing with something that's clearly bargainable, it should be taken care of that way.
Okay. Let's strike this from this committee's attention. No. let's go back and see if we could kind of summarize what we've done here today, and then if there's something else we want to discuss before we quit. But as I understood our decision on the employee relations question, division of personnel, labor relations, and so on, that we're going to wait until after the February 6th and 7th meeting to take this up again, so that the staff should prepare to bring this up again to us around the 15th. Now, we also should recommend then to the full commission, maybe tomorrow, that we consider meeting, I don't know what the date would be, but around the 15th of February. And where do we want to suggest that meeting be held?
June. We have the office, please.
Okay.
That's because everyone in the room, I can
tell. All right, shall we? That's right. People from Anchorage, you just blew it. All right, shall we bring that up tomorrow, and we'll sort of act on that as a full commission. And
there's only one person from Anchorage that was here.
And four polls.
But they're in general now.
Well, most of the issues we discussed in this group, we're kind of wanting to wait until after our
meeting. Am I correct that they're going to speak somewhat to the employee relations aspect?
Oh, yes.
Yeah,
that's part of it.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, they've been briefed on that. And I think it might be good. Well, Dr. Jean, I forgot how to pronounce it again.
You're going to have to practice.
I did practice. I put it up on my wall, but I can't even hardly say my own name now. Anyway.
It's definitely Don. It's not Gene either. It's
John. I know it is. I just figured I called him Gene and he laughed, so I figured he's really a nice person. He, you know, he'd have to be to put up with my... I explained to him that I studied German and Spanish and Mongolian Chinese, but I never even...
Is that why we went from 100 to 500?
Yeah.
500 to make you laugh.
He was coming up for 100, wasn't he?
Yeah,
it was. But it was that $29.
Green, you gotta watch it.
Okay, well, I think we. I'm sorry.
I just wanted to make a point in that same connection that in both Minnesota and Wisconsin, you get the feeling that they're talking about something exactly the same, very close to what we have. As you read on, you find out that there's something called management rights in those, and management rights include what we call a personnel system, and that's pretty well set aside as far as collective bargaining is concerned. A major difference in the two considerations that we have. Do you think we're considering?
Some of us have opinions that management shouldn't have any rights.
Yeah, no, I know. They put them in statute back there. It's hard to catch, but you, as you read through it, you get it.
Yeah, okay, good. I think we should all try to look at that Wisconsin thing before our meetings with them so we can kind of understand what they're talking about. I know that was one of the problems I had in Tacoma was this. I hadn't read their material, and it was all brand new, and I sat there and kind of had to, you know, think about it. Anything else for the good of the order?
Nine o'clock.
Where
is the address of that?
121 West
7th.
Pretty close to 6th Ave jail.
Sherry
said it's 2 blocks east of North
Street. I can't tell
which direction is east, so I
don't
know.
Okay,
that's
you know where the jail or do you know where the new federal building is?
It's in the multi-purpose room. Oh, and we're not allowed to smoke in the room, but we can smoke in the common lobby, and they will have coffee, and our coats should all be left in either their coat rack or in the room that we're meeting in, rather than scattered about
in
the museum, which they apparently had a problem before.
And as you go into the main room, you have to take your shoes off.
And we have a meeting in the common lobby.
Wash your feet and hands.
This is very helpful in working with public addresses.